You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
My God, was this the guest you were talking about last week that you were trying to tap up?
No, unfortunately not. So I tried to tap up a very important guest. He hasn't got back to me with a date yet, but
right.
He's very interested in doing it. So we have managed to find wandering around half naked outside the studio.
He was eating raw meat.
Yes, is the most knowledgeable sports guy you will ever meet in your life.
It's Fabian Barthez.
It's Fabian Barthez.
Oh.
That's Phil Egan, everyone. Phil Egan off of Today FM Sport. Are you Today FM or off the ball? Who do you want to be referred to?
Well, I work
to?
For OTB Sports.
Or 2B Sports.
But I'm on Today FM. There That's confusing. Isn't
oh,
it?
He sounds great. Now, the thing is with Phil Egan, he's on every blooming radio station in this building.
Yeah.
And he's been on every blooming podcast. I'm telling you, you said a few minutes ago that the podcast you're on at the moment on YouTube, it's some Liverpool one. Do you want to give a shout out?
The LFC Day Trippers, yeah.
Now, you said that podcast, there's no egos and people aren't talking for the sake of talking.
Well,
this podcast, we do have egos.
And we do speak for the sake of talking. We've been filling 42 minutes to 60 minutes for the last nearly 4 years. No, 4 years. It is 4 years now. So, Phil, you look very scared. The body language, you're crossing your arms, legs are crossed.
I got a jab yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Right. I'm showing my age now, where I got my second shot yesterday. And it feels like, you know, remember when you were in school and dead arms? Do you remember?
Yeah.
If you got someone with a cracker of a dead arm.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what happened to me. Like, obviously, who's the strongest of the two of you?
Graham.
Is that proven?
Mentally, Nathan.
Yeah. That sounds like something like Brendan Rodgers saying mentally very strong.
We got Brendan Rodgers here in the studio. Brendan.
Well, you know, we have Iniesta playing, and I have to say he has a nice pair of calf muscles.
Hurts my actual mouth doing it because I have to rotate it to the left.
You used to talk about dead arms in school. It's what we used to get in school. I only dished out the odd one or two.
Nipple cripple?
Hail Marys.
What?
You've ever heard of a Hail Mary?
No.
Okay, so Hail Mary would be, someone would have their back to you.
Yeah.
And they would know it's coming. You would get down on your knees like you're saying your prayers.
Yeah.
You would put your hands together like you're saying your prayers, and you would reef your hands up their coccyx bone.
Oh, that's horrible.
With your middle finger going up now, not up their a-hole, up into, you know, the bone that the base of the spine, essentially.
Do you know what
the tailbone.
So sore.
Guys, what was actually very funny in my school, something similar, but it was nicer.
But you had no pants on.
So you'd have two people doing this, okay? So you'd be standing there, unbeknownst to you, is that a word?
Unbeknownst to you,
you'd be standing there. One person would be on their hunches like this.
So one person would be looking.
Okay. This is a classic. I know this one.
One person be, okay, like a dog. Yeah, on
like
all fours.
In doggy position. Yeah. And then the other person would push the person so they would fall behind the person in the doggy position.
Oh, yeah.
And like, think the size of Nathan. When he falls, it's like, that is timber.
Oh, my God. Come on in.
I'm
we
like
gotta
the green giant on the corner.
Look who we're joined by.
Oh, my God. It's Chris Doyle.
It's Chris Doyle, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Chris Doyle, we've always been trying to get you on as a guest on the podcast.
Phil's moment here, and I know you've invited me loads of times.
Oh, Chris, right? What do you want to say?
I need to tell you something that I've done, because I know you in particular.
Oh, I'm scared.
Have
Go on.
Very careful about, right?
Come down close to the microphone.
Sorry.
This is big.
Is it something to do? Something to do with the plumbing?
No. Is that what the smell is in
here? No.
I literally have to tell you, I went into the spin studio to sit on the new chairs we got.
No.
And I've smashed one of the TV screens in the studio.
No way!
Did you?
Which one? Because we were
beside where he sits.
Oh no! People are going to think it's me.
So we've got a new studio where the television's wrapping the wall, and the big fear was Nathan was going to smash the television with the back of his chair. But Chris went in just to.
I'm putting my hands up. It was me. I told
Brilliant.
Him to go. I've admitted it on the floor, so they can't slag the fat guy, and it's done there. Peter, I sat in the chair, and Peter said they're really good chairs. They actually move quite fast. So I rolled in it and went. Gone. So
did anyway, it didn't fall off the wall.
No, it's still there, but it doesn't
so
work.
So is the screen cracked?
Yeah, it's all.
Oh my god.
Oh, thank god it was you, not us.
So anyway, it was me, not you. Okay?
Yeah, Chris is the man who dishes out the money, so just.
Absolutely.
Another television there, please, Chris.
Chris, I was going to get you to tell your Michael Bublé story.
No, that's another day.
For another time.
Bye.
Chris partied with Michael Bublé one time. It was great. But Phil.
Well, who's the most famous person you've partied with, Phil?
This is a nice one. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really get invited to the parties.
Okay, maybe party is the wrong word. Maybe you hung out with. Because I know the answer to this.
To hang out.
A few footballers. John Hartson.
Oh, yeah.
You had a great time with John Hartson.
You partied with John Hartson, the Welsh wizard.
The Welsh wizard. Yeah, actually, do you know what? That was the last. That was before the first lockdown. Because I was doing this gig with John Hartson in Dublin. And he was flying over to London the next day. He stayed in Dublin that night, so we watched, funny enough actually, we watched a Rangers game together. And
a famous Celtic player for people.
Yeah, nearly signed for Rangers actually.
Did he?
Yeah, but he was flying to London the next day. Arsenal were playing Olympiacos. And that was the game where the owner of Olympiacos tested positive. Oh. And then Arteta tested positive a few days after. And basically football shut down after that in terms of crowds and all that.
Yeah.
I want to say that Phil has a drunken alter ego he likes to call Bill. Bill, has Bill been out in the pandemic at all?
Nah, like pandemic isn't really the place for Bill because people are freaked out enough as it is. So you just don't want Bill wandering into
you
situations.
You can see that Phil is scared right now.
He has been properly
media trained and he's aware that he can see that things are being recorded here. He can see the WAV files bouncing in Adobe. Is that how you describe it, Graham? WAV files?
No, waveforms.
Waveforms. WAV file. Well, we'll convert it into a
did
WAV
you not
file.
Did you go to college and do this?
Yeah, no? I did. It's a long time ago. I'm a big chunk of coal.
He got a first in media studies.
Did you get one as well?
No, 2-1.
Ooh.
Hello. Oh, damn it. Mentally strong, not physically.
That's it, mentally.
Did he crumble in the exams? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Last minute.
Yeah.
You
can handle the pressure. I'm also picking my scab on my elbow.
You were telling
us. I have a devil for that.
Ready?
Scab pick.
It's so
you shouldn't
enjoyable.
Be doing that, guys.
When I was a kid, I had to get stitches in my tongue. Oh. I bit through it, right?
Why?
Long story anyway, but...
Well, we got a podcast.
Come on.
So when I was younger, back in the day, right, when you didn't have showers, you had baths, right? And sometimes you have to share the bath water with
I was just going to say I used to share it with my sister.
Yeah. I have two older sisters, two younger
Whatever
brothers.
You're into.
I beg your pardon. We all couldn't have water on tap like Glenageary. Yeah.
So when you've
six showers,
he probably
has one of those special filter taps as well.
Yeah, just have half an hour water. Not enough water. More water, please.
I dunk my lad in the bidet. Ah, sorry guys. I just
bringing the tone down. Like,
just
you know?
Got a different
vibe. Can I tell you a story about? You tell your tongue story, and I'll tell a story about how Phil left Nathan hanging in front of a very famous Irish person.
And we'll say the person.
I don't mind saying the person.
No, that's okay. But so anyway, I was getting my, this is when I used to have hair and lovely curly wavy hair as a 3 or 4 year old. And I had my head over the edge of the bath getting my shampoo rinsed out.
Yeah, yeah.
So shampoo rinses out, goes all over my face, into my eyes. So I start screaming and squirming. And then my chin slips and
I can see it.
I bite through my tongue anyway. Yeah. Blood everywhere. Brought to hospital. 4 or 5 stitches. But I'm in hospital.
In the tongue?
Ah, yeah.
Do they have to inject it with some numbing stuff?
I don't know what they did.
Am I right in thinking the tongue grows back?
It was right there in the middle. I don't even know if there's a scar on it, is there?
But I don't,
No.
Well, I don't think so.
It's a lovely tongue.
I picked the scab with the stitches when I was in hospital.
And when you say, Nathan, the tongue grows back, in reference to what? If the tongue gets cut off?
Yes, it grows back.
You think of a lizard's tail.
Here, try it there. We'll see how it works out.
I got a first in college.
So, Nathan, one morning. And it's early. It's context. It is early.
Give context.
And Phil is the sports presenter on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show and on Dermot and Dave as well.
Friend of the show, Sir Ian Dempsey. Fair play to you.
Now, Ian was off and Hector O'Huckagon was covering. How are you, Hector? How are you, folks? And Nathan, like, we would be a fan of Hector.
Yeah.
He's an icon in the Irish media. In college, you studied his radio show.
I did.
You had to do a project on it. Was that part of your thesis?
I was comparing different breakfast radio shows, and I listened to Ian Dempsey, Hector and Nick Grimshaw on BBC Radio 1. And I was trying to find out who plays the most Irish music.
Riveting stuff.
That's
why you got the first. But you were a big fan of Hector's show and Ian's show and Grimmy's show. But Hector was in. You hadn't seen Hector. You've never met Hector before. So you're trying to impress Hector.
Yeah.
And then you say the joke. I can't remember exactly what the joke was.
It wasn't a joke. The thing is, this was not a joke.
Oh, it wasn't?
This was concrete fact. But the thing is, Phil, he's an ally of ours, Graham. It's fair to say.
When he wants to be.
I tell you, I always thought with Phil, there's loyalty there. He's a sports person. He knows what it's like to be part of the team. You never let someone down. You always stick beside them, especially when they're vulnerable.
You let yourself down that day, right?
Now, I know you remember the footballer, don't you?
We were talking about the footballer, right?
Who was the footballer?
Was it...
I'm trying to think.
Was it Wesley?
Wesley.
Was Hoolan?
No. On Aston Villa.
Basically, whoever the footballer was...
He has like
fathered a
kids.
Child at like a very young age. Like, it could have been 14 or 15. And then Nathan comes in with the line. What was your line?
I say, I didn't produce semen until I was 17, which is true.
And he wasn't talking about the former England goalkeeper.
I was late to puberty. That's why I'm so tall. I was actually late to the game. And Phil, what did you do when I said that?
Well,
did you say with a kind of comedic tone?
I think I did. I think I smiled and went, geez, you know, some people. I didn't produce semen until I was 17.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I was in the toilet. I would have laughed.
Yeah. And then
it's about being on a team.
Hector was uncomfortable, you could see.
He did look visibly uncomfortable.
He was kind of going, is this the kind of shit that happens in the office before the show?
Because Hector's covering, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's covering for Ian.
And let me tell you, because myself and Nathan and Phil, we have breakfast every single morning from about 10 past 10 till half 10. And this is the shit he loves in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
He loves this type of stuff in the kitchen. He loves, he'd be like, he sits on his little seat by the window and he'd be like, no semen until you're in 17. David Semen. Hilarious.
He loves
it. He loves it.
Well, that's a lie.
Well, one way then, just to pour. Oh.
So what did you say?
Nothing.
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 Said nothing.
It was what you didn't say that was the problem.
And then when Hector moved away, Phil went, jeez, that was a bit of fun. He enjoyed it.
I didn't say that. I think I said, Jesus, man. Like, come on.
Was it the... I think you we've said worse things in that kitchen.
Oh, yeah,
and you've been laughing.
Yeah, but we all, like you just said it there, we all sit around and have breakfast together. Like, what?
Hector's a bit of crack.
Have you spoken to Hector much before that?
No, I'm trying to include him.
And do you think that's the best way to do it?
I think I'm showing vulnerability. I'm being a bit self-deprecating.
Yeah.
I'm exposing myself.
Yeah.
Not physically.
I mean, that was the next step.
I do want to touch on Phil. We had a riveting conversation up in the kitchen, like we always do.
Yeah,
but this
day.
Morning before you arrived, okay. Graham.
Can I tell you why I was late to breakfast?
Yeah, where were you?
Nightmare. So I went to get my breakfast. When I saw you going upstairs.
Yeah.
I go, right, let's go up.
You were so
Phil
late.
Phil will be up there. No breakfast cereal.
No granola.
Shit. No granola.
I could have given you a few eggs.
I don't want eggs. I was like, do you know what?
You've sorted me out for granola.
Don't worry, I'll look after you, Phil. You just don't look after Nathan when he's trying to impress Hector.
Give him eggs, no bother.
So I was like, do you know what? I'll go. Now, I didn't want to walk this morning because I pulled my hamstring last night in the game.
Oof.
And it's very sore, but I was like, just go. I got in, so I go to St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. It's about what? 3 or 4 minute walk?
Yeah, but five with a dodgy hammer.
Five with a dodgy hammer.
A lot of steps.
Got in, passing, what's the fruit place?
Baxter and Green?
No, on the right. No, the little smoothie place.
Oh, yeah.
It's passing there. Just passing the exit to Dunn's, as I was walking towards the entrance to Dunn's right in front of me.
No wallet.
No mask.
No wallet.
Wallet. Okay.
No wallet. So I had to run back, get my wallet, and then go again. Thus why I was so long. It was an absolute disaster. Now, that's further reason why I need to be putting my wallet on my phone so I can just tap it if I get my wallet. But anyway,
the conversation you missed was Phil has a dodgy shower at the moment, and I think you will appreciate it. You're a handyman.
Yep.
Sure, I don't know. Are you on Instagram, Phil?
No.
No, but
Jesus,
I enjoyed your Instagram, you putting a door.
Yes.
Front door handle.
Did you tell Phil the story?
I didn't tell, so why don't you tell Phil the story, and then Phil, you tell about the shower.
So our door handle just came off, our front door handle. I was locking it there maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was pulling out the door, and the handle just came off.
Now, it was so strong.
Now, it was a little bit loose for a while, and it disconnected from, the handle disconnected from the plate, is basically what happened. So I went home, I told the owl lad I was home at the weekend, and he was like, I'll get you handles, because he works in a DIY store. Brought it in. And fit perfectly. I had to take off the case and take out the little bolt that connects the two handles, replace that, and then put two new handles on it. And it was so satisfying. And now I love just opening the door because the handle is back connected again. Really good.
Can I ask you a question? Could you have chosen any handle in the world, or did it have to be a particular one?
It had to be a PVC door handle. Oh. Because of specific slots that it has to fit onto. So the hole has to be the perfect place for the key, and then for the handle and the bar to go across to connect the two handles together, so that when one goes down, the other one goes down. But it was the same door that Dad must have used. It must be a generic
That's
PVC
amazing.
Plastic
now,
door.
Now, Phil, open up about your shower.
So the shower, we have a shower, but the problem is the tray that we put in, right? Mm. So when we were moving house, we got our bathroom done, and my brother put it in. He's a plumber, did a great job. But we made a balls of it. As in, I'm going to say we, myself and my wife, because originally we were having this shower put in down the back of the bathroom. It was going to go all the way across, because there was a bath in there when we moved in. So we got rid of that, more space.
Yeah.
So now we have the shower in the right-hand corner of the bathroom. But the shower, the drain, right? So the drain in most places should be in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's grand. But ours is kind of middle left.
Okay.
So it's quite a small shower tray.
And so it is a tray. It isn't a floor drain.
No. It's a
tray.
It's a tray. So then we have, in terms of, we've got the rain head and then we've got the normal one.
Yeah.
So I don't obviously have to wash my hair. I stand under the rain head and I'm done in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Grand, yeah. Just make sure you get the belly button, all that.
In and out.
Mm. You know, keep it clean, all that. But my wife obviously has to wash her hair. So if you're washing your hair, your arms are going places, and the thing where the drain is, it elevates, and there's a metal bit which we've taken off, but there's these prongs sticking out, plastic one. But if you stand on them, it's an absolute killer.
I do want to ask a question. Why did you take the top bit off?
Because what happens with that is you'll end up kicking it anyway. You'll end up hurting your toes on that.
Okay.
Whereas with the prongs, it's going to go into the bottom of your feet. It's a lose-lose situation. It's become a bit of a sore point in our, literally a sore point in our house. And it's up to me to get it sorted. But the problem is, to get it sorted, we might actually have to smash the tray and take out wall tiles.
No.
I actually dreamt about this last night.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Why don't you get a junior hacksaw?
That's what I was thinking. Now, there's about, I think, six, maybe eight small prongs that have to be sawn off.
Yeah.
And then you would obviously
get a file.
File it down. Yeah. And then you probably want to put something in on top of it, like a little kind of, you know, those things you'd have on kitchen sinks where it keeps the food from going down.
Yeah.
That kind of something similar to that.
This is a massive flaw. Why do they make these things if it's going to hurt you?
It's a terrible decision.
Well, is it more of a case where the thing on top, it would be fine if it was in the right position in the corner?
Oh, absolutely.
It should
be in the corner.
The drain is in the wrong position.
And it was such a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
We had so much shit going on that we just took our eye off the ball.
Can you give advice to anyone listening that may be in the market to buy a gaff? Because you recently bought a house. Is it very stressful? Can you give advice?
Christ, yeah. Well, see, we sold a house and then we bought. Like, so you have to get the two deals done. It's like transfer deadline day. You're waiting for one deal to go through before you can do the next. It's not, and it all happened as well at the start of the pandemic. So yeah, no, it's very stressful. Also, like, the way things are going now, it's ridiculous that, like, the house prices are gone crazy.
So did you have many boxes in your head of what you wanted? And then when you're going to all these viewings, you have to realize that you're not going to get everything that you want.
Yeah, I think we realized that we were looking for location. I find as well when you go to those viewings, you're looking around at people going, yeah, they look like they've got a few quid. They'd probably outbid us. Yeah, we might just not have a chance in this one. But then you're looking at other people going, they wouldn't live in this house. I find myself getting distracted, whereas I should be looking at the important stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're focusing on the people.
It's horrible. Like buying that house, like, it shouldn't be as complicated as it is in this country.
Well, give a bit of advice to our Nathan here, because within the next year you will be at least thinking about looking.
Yeah, exploring.
Give him some emotional advice.
I would say the way things are going, the prices keep going up. They can't keep going up. Like, it has to stop, but this happened before. So you'd be, like, if I were you, I'd be having a look, obviously, you know, most weeks and keeping an eye on things, but I wouldn't be in a mad rush. As long as you're not getting... The problem is, it's so hard to save because you get shafted in rent. Mm. Like, the whole housing market's an absolute shambles in
this
country.
It's against us, Phil.
It really is.
What was it like when you bought your first gaff?
Like the rent and the rent we were paying and then the mortgage repayments were very similar. But that's not the case with most people now. It would be the other way. It'd be rent would be a lot higher than what you'd be repaying a mortgage.
Fucking bonkers.
And it's mental as well. You can go to a bank with some banks and they'd say, yeah, we need more proof of your savings. You go, I can meet, say, for example, $2,000 in rent. I can repay that every month.
Yeah.
And you're telling me I can't afford mortgage repayments.
1,500.
Yeah, like it's horrible. Like I, to be honest, if I can understand why people will be just thinking they've had enough of this country and they just leave.
Do they go through your accounts with a fine tooth?
What I'm very nervous about is like buying clothes or moving money onto Revolut.
I think they look at Revolut.
Do
now.
They?
Well,
When I was doing, like, I obviously have Revolut now, but I didn't when we were looking.
So I follow on McGee and he does those Q&A's every
Saturday. They're
brilliant. God, like that, he's the guy we need in here.
He's great.
Whenever I watch his program, I'm thinking he would sort my life out.
Yeah.
Well, he's been on this podcast just like you. So you got that in common. But he said, yeah, they're looking at every account.
Are they?
So you can't hide your Revolut.
The first thing I was asked when we went to a mortgage broker was about betting apps.
Mm.
And he looked at me. I was like, why did you just presume it was
sexist.
The bloke? Yeah, it was all like, right. You don't think my wife likes a punt, no? no, anyway, like I don't anyway, so it was grand. But it was one of the first things he asked me.
Really?
Take out cash. I'd say, wouldn't that be a good thing?
For a night's out.
Maybe for a night's out, take out cash. You don't want vodka, gin.
Yeah.
Why do they end up there, eh?
So what are the things they don't want you to be buying?
Is anything.
It just anything?
I don't know, to be honest.
Even transport.
Yeah, like you could have walked.
Is it like that? Sorry,
I know, it's not as bad as that. Like, no.
Yeah, they understand you have to live as well.
Yeah. But with some of them, I kind of got the impression they don't have realistic understanding of what it's like to live nowadays.
Yeah.
Because like, I actually remember we went to see a broker, which we didn't end up using in the end, but he rang on speakerphone the guy in charge of the mortgages of a certain bank, I won't name them, and explained our situation, our financial situation. And your man pretty much pissed himself laughing then the phone, kind of going, where are your savings? Like, what are you doing with your money? And I was like, if that lad was in front of me, I would just grab him by the throat, put him up against the wall.
You would. Phil, we know you.
And I'd say, buddy, have you seen how much rent costs? Like, honestly, do you want us to just pay rent and just stay in every night? Are we not allowed to go out for dinner some night?
And you know what, Phil? If you were taking, you know, your man's throat, I'd touch his throat as well, because we're a team.
Maybe a bit loyalty. A bit aggressive.
A pity the loyalty doesn't go both ways.
Yeah,
maybe.
I know, yeah.
It's a shame.
He'd be choking me out and Phil would probably pull down my pants.
Maybe, okay, look, Tiger got out of the cage there. Bit aggressive. I give him a good telling off. Yeah.
Well, isn't that? It's easy to whine, Philip. Do you find that? You can just plant a seed and you get annoyed.
He does it to me every day with football. Like, he just brings up random footballers. He's really good knowing that I don't rate them.
Who'd be your favourite footballer now? Who's the best Irish international ever?
I love Conor Horahan.
You can't even say his name.
And probably. I think he's a lot better than Wes.
Who then?
See, that's the kind of shit he does to me every day.
Well, you can't just say that. You do back it up.
You're nothing. He played in the Premier League. He was a set piece taker for Aston Villa.
Wand of a left foot.
Oh my God, have you seen it?
You're obviously talking about Wes Hoolan.
No, I'm talking about Conor Horan.
Horan.
Do you think I know a lot about football?
I think you watch a lot of highlights.
He hates that. I don't know what your problem is when I miss a game and I watch highlights on YouTube. What's wrong with that?
That's fine.
I'm getting the best moments in the game.
Yeah, I know that. You can't watch every game.
I can't watch every game.
No, I get that. But sometimes you'll watch highlights and you'll make your judgment.
But the highlights will tell me what's going on. For the most part.
No, they can't put in everything in highlights, though. They can't put in, say, a player running the game in midfield. You look at the end and you go, oh, two assists. But then you don't realise he could have taken a corner and that's all they did for the game. You want to see like the full 90 minutes to see how good they were.
I disagree.
Well, of course you do.
I've got football trivia.
Oh, go on. This is a bit of fun.
Okay, so I've never met a person who can get trivia as good as Phil. Yeah,
he's an encyclopedia with football.
This is like definitely set me up to
this is a good one.
Where are you going? What sort of era?
I just go obscure football trivia. It's the first thing I Googled.
Do you remember, a quick reference. Did you ever watch Gavin and Stacey, Phil?
Ah, cracking show, yeah.
Do you know when Smithy, James Gordon's character, is hosting the pub quiz and he asks three times what was the transfer fee for Pascal Chimbonda?
So, that's right. I'm conscious of you looking at your phone. Are you okay?
No, I'm good.
Yeah,
I sensed that as well.
No, it's a time thing. You haven't been down to your office. We've been hanging out with you for the last hour and a half.
I spend most of my day just checking the time to see, right, I know I have to go and do a bulletin now.
Well, we won't be too much longer.
No, you're great.
Isn't Phil great? I really miss Phil. Where's he going? No, I just...
They've changed my studio, so I actually get to walk by you a lot
more.
Yeah, I prefer it.
Here's a good one. It's not too hard. It could be one which you might have heard before. Which player has played for 4 out of the 6 Premier League winners, but never won it?
Friend of the show, Mark. He's going to love this episode.
Okay, so we're talking about 4 of the Premier League, the 6. So we're talking...
We're talking about City,
United.
Liverpool, Chelsea.
Blackburn.
And Leicester.
So that's 7, is it not? Did I just count 7?
Maybe this was put in earlier. One second now.
Oh.
Sorry, what was the question?
Two Manchester clubs. Chelsea, Arsenal. There's 4. Leicester, Liverpool, Blackburn.
Can you ask the question again?
Which player has played for 4 out of the 6 Premier League winners but never won it? I can actually only think of 3 that he...
Which player?
Yeah.
So actually, this is absolute bullshit.
Just one player.
Sorry.
Do you have the answer?
I have the answer, but this is incorrect because I changed it.
That is not good.
So he's played for 3 out of the 7 Premier League winners.
Okay.
Do you want to expand on it?
Never won it. Okay.
I'll give you 2 of the clubs that it wasn't. Arsenal and United.
Oh.
So he didn't play for Arsenal or United, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. But he could have played for Liverpool, Leicester, Man City, Blackburn, or Chelsea.
I'm just trying to get my head around this question.
I'm trying to think of players that played for Liverpool, Chelsea. I don't know, players that played for Liverpool and Chelsea. Raul Morelos, but he didn't play for any of the others.
So sorry, this player played for three.
Three of the 7 Premier League winners.
3 of the 7 Premier League winners, but never won it.
He's never won a Premier League.
While at that club. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'd be thinking goalkeeper, wouldn't you?
Okay, well, I'll give you one of the teams. He's played for Blackburn, but not in the title-winning season.
Okay, so he didn't play...
But this player was at his height in the noughties.
The noughties, okay.
For Blackburn. God, I loved Morten Gamst Pedersen.
Trying to think of players, right? So if you played for Blackburn and you played for Liverpool,
thinking of Stephen Warnock.
Warnock played for Blackburn and Liverpool, but he didn't play for any of the others.
No.
Jason McAteer played for Liverpool, played for Blackburn, didn't play for any of the others.
Do you know?
Steve McManaman played for City and Liverpool.
Just about Steve McManaman. He went to Real Madrid, and then after Real Madrid, he went to Man City.
Yeah.
And was he pretty shit for Man City?
Well, his best days were behind him. He was still good, but he was phenomenal at Real Madrid.
And then he retired at Man City.
Yeah. And what happens here now is when you're talking to me, it's getting into my brain and I can't focus properly.
Okay, do you want me to give you
another
two of the clubs?
Yes, I would.
Blackburn.
Oh. Blackburn and Liverpool.
Blackburn and Liverpool. But who is it?
Is it Jermaine Pennant?
No.
No, he didn't play for Blackburn.
No.
He played for Arsenal, though.
Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah. So Liverpool and Blackburn. Players that have played for Liverpool and Blackburn are the likes I said, McAteer.
It's going to click now any second.
See he's, oh yeah,
he's going through.
He's like a dog chasing after a bone.
They've probably played for City as well, I think.
Not a defender.
Midfielder. Did two guy ever play for Liverpool?
Not a goalkeeper.
So it's midfield or attack. Oh, this is like
this is very frustrating.
It is. It's really frustrating.
Manchester City.
So City, Liverpool.
Why
Blackburn.
Am I thinking of Sibierski?
Anton Sibierski, what a man.
I'm sorry, so this player
not
played
a midfielder.
Blackburn, Man City Fowler. And Liverpool.
No.
A striker.
Yeah.
Would I know this striker?
Welch.
John Hartson.
No. Oh, this I have built up Phil so much. To even people, even my friends.
Craig Bellamy. Bollocks.
Ah, shite.
That was like
you'd forget he played for Blackburn.
But you're
Well, that's always the case, isn't it? You pick someone up.
He was such a good player.
I loved him. Didn't score as many goals. So I remember I was listening to him on The Greatest Game. And
That's a good listen, by
the way.
That's
a great listen. Listen to Jamie Carragher's Greatest Game. Also with Phil Neville.
That one in particular is very good because he obviously was moved on from club to club.
Yeah.
And some of the stories, I loved his Joey Barton story.
Oh, that was brilliant, yeah.
So he had two stints at Liverpool, 06 to 07 one season and 11 to 12 one season. How many goals do you think he scored across two seasons, and he played 27 games in each season?
For Liverpool?
So he played, what was that, 54 games. How many goals in 54 games?
15?
I was going to say 15.
15?
13.
Not bad.
How poor is that? 13 in 54.
Got the one against
But he was always
Barca,
playing
though.
On the wing, wasn't he?
Got the one
he?
Against Barcelona.
He wasn't really up top. I think he was more of a creator. Do you know what could be nice? You did say that we've received a few emails on the podcast.
I'll read out one.
If there's a dilemma one, it would be great to throw it to Phil.
Do you get nice emails?
We never really get emails, to be honest. But the email address is grahamandnathan@gmail.com.
We have...
Thank you so much if you have emails.
There's a couple here just chatting, but I'd like to... okay. Oh, no, let's do this one. Tinder Troubles.
Oh, brilliant.
How about this, Phil? Some Paul.
Hey, Paul.
He goes, hi, guys.
Hey, sorry, Phil. Paul. Welcome, Paul.
I literally just said hi, Paul.
Paul didn't hear you.
Paul, can you hear me?
Paul says, hi, guys. Big fan of the podcast. It's absolutely brilliant, but I have an issue.
Ah, no.
I matched with this wonderful lady on Tinder over the weekend. She studies medicine at Trinity and is an easy 10 out of 10.
I'm sorry, is this a made-up email?
No.
Oh my God.
Real email.
It just sounds like a made-up email.
We wouldn't make up emails.
He's winking. Do you see him wink?
I'm not winking.
He's got a bit of a twitch.
He's winking.
I'm not winking.
Fair play to Paul. This is actually a legit email. Carry on.
There we were, chatting away on the app, organising drinks and all that jazz. We were getting on great. We were discussing which bars in Dublin would be nice, and I replied with a few suggestions. As soon as I sent the reply, I exited the chat and it disappeared.
Oh.
Tinder is cock blocking me and I haven't heard from her since. What do I do? Paul, you go back and you say exactly what you said to us.
Oh yeah.
Okay, but by the way, I know nothing about Tinder. I think it's changed since the days you were on Tinder. Is there now vanishing messages like Snapchat?
I'm not too sure about that. I am so surprised that Paul didn't get to follow the lady on Instagram.
Okay, so what would you have done?
What would I have done?
Yeah, what
in
did
the
you
past,
do
when I was, if I matched with someone on Tinder, I would often actually want to move away from Tinder as fast as I could because I wasn't a fan of messaging. It's not as quick as WhatsApp or even Instagram. So I would have moved it. I'm just surprised if you're asking someone out for drinks and it seems like you've the green light, they're interested. I would have been surprised that he hadn't have moved it on.
Yeah, I don't think Paul needs to hear this because you're basically saying this is like, let's have a look at what you could have done.
Yeah, well,
let's have a look at what you could have won.
Just for the future. For the future.
Yeah, I know. And look, I'm sure he appreciates that, but he's in a
dilemma, Paul.
He's in a pickle.
He's in
Phil,
more than a pickle.
I don't mean to be rude here, but I'd like to ask for Bill's opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, welcome Bill. Please, let's welcome Bill.
Bill, welcome.
I'd say you'd need 3 hours to get Bill in here.
Now, what do you think?
Wait, what is he saying? Paul is saying...
You can't track her down.
We were discussing which bars in Dublin would be nice and I replied with a few suggestions. As soon as I sent the reply, I exited the chat and it disappeared. I don't understand what that means because I don't understand Tinder. Tinder's cock blocking me. Surely, if her account is still there, you have to go and chat to her.
Yeah.
But if...
It must have just disappeared.
Her whole account disappeared, then you have to find her on Instagram.
Yeah, did you not get her surname, Paul?
Oh, it's only first names, isn't it?
Is it?
But see, I don't know. Tinder passed me by.
On the bio, a lot of people would put in their social media.
Let me tell you about this story. Oh. This is a kind of an old school way. I remember it was either first or second year in college, and I was shifting this girl, and it was in Coppers.
Just the word shifting. Do you use that word?
I've started to use it just from hanging out with Graham.
Yeah, see, this is something that's crept into my wife is from the west of Ireland as well, and she uses the term shifting.
You would have used score, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
that was very South Dublin.
Oh yeah, Phil from Black Rock, you only scored this moth.
No, actually, they used to say things like, "Will you get off with my friend?
Get off,
that's get off." Like, that's I like would pull, think pulling jerking off. And pulling
well,
the
that's
plums.
That's just because you're filth. That's you and your
you get off.
Your 17-year-old semen, like you know? Not that your semen's 17 years old.
In a jar.
It's aging nicely. It's fertilized, fermenting
just for special occasions. we bring out the vintage, single malt, a single malt.
At Christmas.
There you go, Bill.
Christ Almighty. We went there.
All right, so I was in Coppers, I was shifting this girl, and I remember thinking, God, she's a lovely girl. And we sat down and I said, here, give us your number there. And
do you remember where you sat down in Coppers?
Oh, I can't remember.
Such a big place.
Yeah. But for whatever reason, I didn't take down her number. I was loaded. Anyway, and I remember waking up the next day, I was trying to find her, what's her fucking number? What's her name? I was like, oh God. And then I got tagged on Facebook, and it was tagged of me shifting her. So you know when the club photos just go around?
Yeah.
And all I had was the back of her head. And I remember I was so hungover, I go, I gotta find this girl. So I went through, and no word of a lie, every single nightclub in Dublin, all their club photos,
jeez,
to try and match the hair.
That's not a good look. That's not a good look
for the
podcast.
I started off with Coppers. I go, surely she'll be in another photo that night and someone will tag her. Nothing. I go, when she goes to Copper, she probably goes to Dicey's on a whatever night. Checked it, couldn't find it. God. And she was gone.
I have a great story sure I've said on the podcast, but listen to this, Bill.
So just for Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Go. Persevere.
Paul.
Look for, you had her first name. Type her first name into Instagram or Facebook. Surely, if you've got nothing else, if you've got time to email us, you've got time
I'm
to do
sure
that.
He's done it.
Can
but
you, can keep he, us updated. Keep yeah, us updated,
do,
Paul.
Can Paul not go back to Tinder and try and find her on that?
No, because you have to, isn't it, you're swiping, so it has to kind of come around. I don't know Tinder.
I don't think you're going to match with her again if you've matched before and then you're unmatched. But look, Paul, if it's meant to be, it's meant
Maybe
to be.
Maybe change his profile.
Guys.
Come in with a new profile.
Paul will enjoy this story, okay? I'm sure I've told it before, but I definitely haven't said it to Bill. I remember I was in Dalkey in the Vico. Do you know that nightclub beside Queens?
Never actually in it.
It's there no more. It's a shithole. But I was
Matt
there.
Matt Damon go there?
No, I never did.
There was a club there.
It was just beside. Do you know what's so weird? Okay, so it's a nightclub beside Queens in Dalkey, and only men had to pay to go in.
That'd be a thing, yeah.
New York do that
as well.
Ladies free before 12.
And they skip the queue as well.
Yeah.
Because
it just is a bit odd, but look, you do want girls to be
in there.
The lads
are going to go where the women are.
Yeah, that is true. So I was there and I ended up kissing a lady, and first time ever in the Vico. And I remember I got her number and then I went outside and I lost her. And I was scrolling through the contacts and I was quite half jarred at this point, but I never got her name. So I'm looking through the contacts. I'm like, who is she? What is the name standing out to me? And I see Harry Little Brother. And I'm like, was she just kind of like, she seemed funny. Maybe that's just a joke or something that she put in, you know, this random name. So I ended up messaging Harry Little Brother. And I was like, Jesus. Hey, it's me. The one that had my tongue in your mouth. I kissed you and all. I find out the next day, Harry's little brother is my friend, Rob. Rob's younger brother, who would have been maybe 14. So then I have to message Rob and say, hey man, I ended up messaging your younger brother. I did not kiss your younger brother. It was, think, you have a hangover and then you have that.
Yeah, if you have the fear.
Oh, don't say the fear. Graham hates that.
Do you get pre-fear?
No, but you hate the term the fear.
I hate the term the fear.
What do you call it then, Graham?
You're just anxious.
But you know,
you can't say I'm anxious.
Yeah. You can.
I have anxiety.
I have the fear.
You could have anxiety watching a football game. Whereas the fear is
a drunken
specifically
thing.
You're out the night before.
Yeah, with alcohol.
I actually think I had it there a while ago. Out of nowhere, I just felt really
the
anxious.
Fear.
No, anxious.
Man, that's a
no,
fear.
No, I felt anxious.
No, you had the fear because you drank and you were scared about the night before.
I wasn't scared about anything. I was fairly okay about everything that happened.
Fear.
Anxious. I just had this ball of anxiety. And do you know what's worse than like, oh, coffee will wake me up. And coffee makes me feel so much
I can
worse.
Never drink coffee when I'm hungover. Yeah. I'm dehydrated. I don't want to drink something that makes me more dehydrated. Yeah. I'm sorry, Paul. I know we haven't been great.
Paul, let us know what you did, because he only messed that 2 days ago. So, Paul, we want to know.
Sorry, Paul.
You have 11 minutes.
I'll tell you before. These bulletins don't write themselves.
Okay. They've already been written.
No. People think like you just walk in and there's a sheet. There you go, in you go. But there's no person.
Now,
like
don't digress. Give us a last story from Bill.
No, I was thinking of like lost numbers and all that. So when we were on our J1 in San Diego, one
yeah,
of the lads.
Now we're talking! Yeah, what happens in San Diego fucking doesn't stay in San Diego. It's on the podcast.
Yeah, but one of the lads was on a mission to get this girl's number and he got it. She wrote it on his arm and then on the bus on the way home. Actually, do you know where we were in Tijuana? We went from San Diego to Tijuana to Mexico.
Is there loads of weed there?
No. Because you think because it rhymes with marijuana. Is that what it was? Is that just subliminal?
No, I think I had heard stories. You can go...
A load of weed in Dublin.
Yeah, true.
But on the bus on the way home anyway, he fell asleep and the lads thought it'd be great crack
rub
it off.
Why?
Assholes.
Like when he woke up.
I bet you Bill was the first person
Bill had sobered up because the Mexican police are quite scary.
Yeah.
But the bus, yeah, when he woke up, Jesus, he went mad.
Oh, you would.
Yeah. You would. That's not fair.
That's a summer romance.
I saw a great thing on The Sopranos, and AJ was getting a number from a girl, and he had the number. He goes, "Hey, sorry, you're a digit short." And she goes, "Yeah, if you want me really bad, you'll figure it out."
Oh,
so
I
you
like
got
to
call the last digit is gone.
Hey, before we go, are you looking forward to the Sopranos prequel?
Yes, can't wait.
That sounds pretty cool. James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano, his son is what, playing...
The young Tony Soprano.
Ah, that's beautiful. Yeah. I love when that stuff happens.
Like when you're talking about having to try the number, like did you lads ever have to ring house phones of girls?
No.
Like that is...
That's scary.
Like,
would you have done that?
And you'd be there thinking, oh Christ, I hope the dad doesn't answer. Or like you'd be thinking the mother might be a nicer option because... They'd be probably a bit softer towards you.
Mobile phones came in when we were doing our confirmation-ish. That's when the flood of phones came in. So we were getting in sixth class and the phones came.
You're sorted. Like,
I bet you.
Like a little like fourth class or fifth class Phil having to ring some girl's house. Like little squeaky voice.
I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Damn right, that's the type of... Nathan didn't produce Seam until he was 17.
Can I ask, I bet you went to the Debs more than once.
I didn't, no.
Do you know?
No. Sure, I was... I had train tracks. I was probably a little bit spotty. So I wasn't going to a Debs. Like,
I do think
very
you
handsome
can...
handsome man, though.
Yeah, I do think you can develop too early. Do
yeah.
you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know... Puberty is a weird time, especially for men. I think they can look odd.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I've been in Lidl, I saw these young guys, this was pre-pandemic, and they have...
Wasn't fucking... Harry's little brother, was it?
And you want to shift me. But you know when they have the, like, slight little tash yeah. above the lip? Yeah. Not a good look.
Phil Egan, what an absolute pleasure.
Oh, it's great.
This was so...
And this was a guest you've been working with.
Do you know what I said at the beginning?
You said this guy was an actor.
It wasn't. This is actually the guy I was working with.
I've acted the whole thing out.
Phil and Bill, thank you so much for joining us on what has been a spontaneous guest.
I'm calling this podcast Kill Bill.
Phil Bill. What about semen?
Volume 1.
No semen. Yeah, okay.
Volume 1.
Thanks, Bill. Phil.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation.